Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. As we continue to follow the path of Jesus, and now we're getting to some of his early miracles. So, Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Hear now these words. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed his face to the ground, begged to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offerings required in the law of Moses and for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up at every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some people came carrying a paralyzed man on the sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside of Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof, took off some tiles. Then they lowered a sick man on the mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. And so, today we got some of the stories of Jesus and his great healing powers. And in this we see his great heart, his great compassion. And the first story have a man with leprosy. And you have to realize that back then there wasn't that much medical care. You didn't have Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And when you got leprosy, it was very easy for it to spread and consume you. And people didn't want to be anywhere near you because it was contagious. And in fact, when you go back to the book of Leviticus, the Lord gave Moses very detailed instructions about how the high priest and the priest, their job was kind of be like the health department. They were to inspect people for leprosy. And if you had an advanced case of leprosy and such, you had to go outside the camp and be away from society. You cannot be around other people because you would spread it. Now, we know all about that, don't we? We've had that here in the past 2 years about, you know, when somebody gets COVID, we say, you need to stay at home, don't get out, don't spread this around. But leprosy was worse in some sense because it would deform you and eat up your flesh, and folks didn't want to be around it, and it was obvious you had leprosy. And then there was a stigma attached to it. Folks sometimes thought you had leprosy because you sinned. Now, the fact is, you can be a righteous person, be healthy. You can be a righteous person, be sick in the hospital, you know. I mean, that's why we have a prayer request list. We pray for our saints. And I'm sure many of you have seen the old movie with Charlton Heston, Ben-Hur, where he finds out that his mom and his sister has leprosy, and they live on the outskirts of town, right in a leper colony. Whereas they couldn't come within the city of Jerusalem. They had to stay outside in their own little colony. They were shut off. I think about when I was a kid. although I'm dating myself now, but, you know, I'm 81 model. And I remember as a kid, the AIDS virus, people talking about it, and they were scared of it. I didn't know what it was. I just remember folks talking about it. And remember back then, there were all sorts of crazy stories about how if you played basketball, someone had AIDS, you would get it, and this and that, and a lot of confusion going around. And unfortunately, a lot of people got stigmatized, and don't be near that person. And the fact was, there were a lot of folks who got AIDS to no fault of their own. They may went and had a heart transplant or donated gay blood or got a blood transfusion and got by pure accident. Or maybe their spouse had been unfaithful and gave them the virus. But there was that stigma was, if you had AIDS, you must have done something wrong. We need to be very, very careful that we don't mistake a person's health condition as a sign of their spiritual condition. You can be like Brother Job and be spiritually right with God and have afflictions. So we can't go by that. And so here's this man has an advanced case of leprosy. And he's heard about Jesus. He's heard about this prophet from Nazareth who has great powers and abilities. And so it says when the man saw Jesus, he bowed his face to the ground and begged to be heard. In other words, this wasn't a little, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep prayer. This was, Lord, I'm in desperate condition. I'm on my knees, on my face. And sometimes in life, you will be in that position where you're not going to say the little prayer of two or three words. But you will get down on your knees by your bed, or maybe in the floor, and you won't get right with Jesus because you are in a desperate situation. It might be for yourself. It might be for a loved one in the hospital. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And I think that is a great prayer statement. Notice how he addressed Jesus as Lord. He realized that this Jesus has some special connection with the Heavenly Father. Now, only this guy understood the whole Trinity and that, but he just knew there's something different about this prophet. He's not like the other rabbis around. This is someone special. And then he said, if you are willing, it's important in our prayers we have humility. Remember those words Jesus prayed on Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. In all our prayers, we need to attach that. Lord, if it's within your will, now, it's okay to tell God what you want and what you need, but we always need to do it with the attitude of humility. Lord, if you're willing. So he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. You may recall the nurse story where a man said, well, no, Lord, if you're able. And Jesus said, what do you mean I'm able? You know, oh, ye a little faith. This man had faith. He said, I know you can heal me and make me clean. It's not a question if you can do it. It's a question, will you do it? And that's why I said, Lord, if you're willing, if it's within your will, do that. And we don't know why God heals one person, doesn't heal another one. We won't know that on this side of heaven. But we need to have the attitude, Lord, if you're willing, I know that even today you can come to someone's life and you can heal them. You can make them clean. And what does Jesus do next? Jesus reached out and he touched him. Now that's the one thing you weren't supposed to do with a leper, is touch him. No, 6 feet apart, man, put your mask on. But Jesus reached out and touched him. It's something about that humanity of Jesus. And Jesus touched him and said, I am willing. Be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. And when I was reading this, I was thinking about that great song by the Bill and Gloria Gaither. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me, and he made me whole. That's what happened to this leper. 1 minute, he's a leper, the skin all eaten up, a social outcast, on death row, as far as the medical community is concerned. But then Jesus lays his hands on him and touches him. And when that happens, the leprosy went away. Brand new skin, a brand new man. Paul says, any man in Christ, he's a new creature. The old man has passed away. And then Jesus instructs him, says, don't tell anybody about this. No. In other words, just like, no, I'm starting my ministry, and I don't need a whole lot of publicity at this point. But go to the priest, let him examine you, take along the offering required in the law of Moses, those who have been healed of leprosy, and this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. And so that'd be like a narcissistic society. Be like, go to the doctor's office and take your COVID test, prove you're healed. Or go to the doctor's hospital and get a blood exam, get a mammogram, run this CAT scan, the MRI scan. No, go and have the doctor check you out and say you got a clean bill of health. And doing so, that will be a testimony of what the Lord has done for you. He said, but despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. In other words, Jesus became a celebrity. Folks came to Jesus to be healed. If we were living back then and we were sick, doctor gave us no hope, and we heard there was Jesus, we'd go pay him a visit. It wouldn't matter if he was in Telco, Calhoun, Athens. If we knew he was there, we'd get up and start walking and go find Jesus. But verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You know, another story is about how when Jesus got touched, divine power left him. So it's almost like Jesus would serve others. But he knew in order to keep that up, he had to go away in the wilderness, be by himself, in solitude with the Father, and pray. And in doing so, the Father empowered him to continue that ministry. If Jesus had to go and pray and talk to the Father one-on-one, how much more do we need to be talking to the Father one-on-one in solitude? Turn off that TV, the radio, put that phone on silent, turn off the laptop, and talk one-on-one with the Heavenly Father. Well, then, we get to our next door, and this is called the Interrupted Sermon. It's talking about Jesus was teaching, and it's talking about the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law were sitting there. And Luke says, it seemed like these people showed up every time Jesus was preaching. And they weren't there to say amen. They were there to take notes to find something wrong with his teachings. You know, that's always going to happen. When you start doing the Lord's work, your critics will come out of the woodwork, and they'll sit in that second and third pew, arms crossed, waiting for you to mess up and say something to get you on. And it says, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Well, then you have some men paralyzing a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They try to take him inside of Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. Okay? So you hear, had this guy, he was paralyzed, couldn't walk. He needs some help. What in the world? Well, I think Levi's our paralyzed man this morning. All right, so on New Year's Eve, the youth had a get-together, and Clint, for one of his badges, he did this presentation for us. And my mind got turned. I said, this reminds me of the story of the paralyzed man, okay? And I thought, I'm going to use that for next Youth Sunday. And lo and behold, that Youth Sunday ended up being Scout Sunday, right? The Lord worked in mysterious ways, okay? Now, so imagine this situation. So the synagogue, the house that Jesus was at, was packed out. And so here come these four buddies. They got their friend here. They can't get inside. The room's packed out. What are we going to do? Well, most folks are like, well, we'll just go back home, I guess. Try next time. But no, but these friends got creative. They got a ladder, got on top of the roof, got their buddy on top of the roof. And then they start taking the tiles off the roof. Now, I didn't do that here because I didn't want the trustees to get mad at me, right? So, now, can you imagine there's Jesus? He's over there teaching about loving your neighbor and loving God. And all at once, there's all this sawdust, whatever, on top of his head coming. You know, and those Pharisees and Sadducees, they're like, what's going on here? No. And these four fellows, they take off the roof and stuff and lower their buddy down to the ground. And so Jesus looks at the young man, okay, Mr. Levi here, and says, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." Religious folks like,
"Well, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Now, they didn't say it out loud, okay, but they was, you know, kind of giving each other those looks. But Jesus understood the hearts of men and women. He's one of those people who could know what you were thinking and what you had in your heart. No. And so Jesus turned to them and says, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk?" Well, verbally, they're the same, right? It takes the same kind of verbal skills to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. Well, only God can forgive sins. I mean, that'd be like if, you know, if Clint was driving around and ran his truck into my vehicle, and Macy said, "Clint, you're forgiven." I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. It was my vehicle he hit. You know, I'm the one doing the forgiving." But Jesus acted like though the sin was his business to forgive, as though he's the one who laid down the law, and that when this man broke the law, he has sinned against Jesus himself. And Jesus saying, "Your sins are forgiven." And then another thing is, you can't prove that scientifically, can you? This morning I can look and say, "Levi, your sins are forgiven." But we have no way scientifically to prove that, right? It's not like we can go down to the doctor and take a blood test and like, "Yes, he's clear, you know, he's forgiven." No, nobody can. You can't prove that scientifically. That's a spiritual ideal. But stand up and walk. Now, that's something different. That can be proven scientifically, can it? If a person comes out here with a big old tent and has a little faith-filling service, and they're over here laying hands on folks, says, I heal. Okay, what about this guy in the wheelchair? Can you heal him? And isn't it strange how these folks, when they do that, they never heal anybody in a wheelchair or anything like that? And so Jesus turns to this young man and says, "Stand up and pick up your mat and go home." Yeah. Good job, Levi. All right, now don't go home now, right? No. Now, all this happened because Jesus saw their faith. He saw the faith of these four buddies who loved their friend enough to take their friend up to Jesus, get a ladder, get on top of the roof, take the roof apart, and lower him down. Now, how many of us would do that? We'd be embarrassed, like, let's not do that. Let's not, you know, can we wait another time or maybe next week? You know, we wouldn't do that. But these four buddies, they love their friends so much. They said, "We're not going to let anything stop us to get him to Jesus." And their faith is so great, and they thought, all we got to do is get Jesus to see him. And when Jesus sees our friend, he'll take care of this. And so what Jesus does, first of all, he takes care of the sinning problem. Before God acts in our life, a lot of times he will take care of the sinning problem first. I don't know what this guy had done, but he had some sins that need to be forgiven. And I think he was repentant. And Jesus seeing that, says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then he took care of the illness problem. This guy was paralyzed. We don't know what happened. Maybe he was working somewhere and fell off and damaged his spinal cord and couldn't walk. But this guy was totally helpless. He needed his friends to help him. And so think about that. His friends loved him enough to lift him up on the roof. Now we have a song, right? "Love lifted me." Now, what about us? Are you ever in a situation where your friends need someone to lift them up? Were you there to help lift them up and give them to Jesus? Or maybe you were the guy in the mat. You're the one who needed some lifting. You were down and out, out for the count. And your friends came by and said, let's lift you up. You need Jesus. And it says, immediately as everyone watched. Now, so this wasn't some little smoke and mirrors where you'll eventually get healed. This was instantaneously. The man jumped up. Now, think about that. He didn't kind of do what we do in the morning, kind of got up and moaned and groaned. The power of Jesus is so strong, this man jumped up. He picked up that mat and said he went home praising God. When God does a miracle in our lives, we should be praising God. We should be rejoicing and shouting, telling folks what happened. And everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe. That'd be the congregation. That'd be you all. And they praised God. Know what? When we see God work in someone's lives, we should praise God for it. It doesn't matter if it didn't happen to us. If we see him doing someone's life a miracle and wonder, we should praise God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. You know, there's a song we sing every time we can do Communion Sunday. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. When God saves you from your sins, that's an amazing thing. When he heals you when you're sick, that's amazing. When he helps mend that relationship between you and a loved one or friend, that's amazing. That is God's amazing grace. So my question this morning is, what about you? Are you like that leper? Are you willing to go to Jesus and get down before him and humble and say, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can heal and cleanse me. Are we like those four friends that we care enough about, our loved ones and our friends, that we'll do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus? And when we run into a little obstacle, instead of giving up, we get creative. We go find a ladder, and we get going. We get busy. Okay. Or maybe we're like that guy on the mat. No, we're the ones who need the miracle. Apparently, he was fine with his friends taking him somewhere. And when it was too crowded, he could have said, now guys, you know, I appreciate this, but I really don't feel comfortable with you hosting me up on top of that roof there, okay? I think this is a little dangerous. Let's not do this. I think this guy was so down and out. He's like, what's the worst thing could happen? I'm already paralyzed, right? Hoist me on up. Sometimes you hit rock bottom. That's when you find God. God comes to you. They lower him in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, plural, their faith, not just one faith, but their faith, he said, young man, your sins are forgiven. And then he proceeded to heal him. No, we need to live our lives in such a manner that when we're facing sickness in our lives, the lives of others, we go to Jesus in faith and say, Lord, if you're willing, I know I can be cleansed and healed, or my loved one can be cleansed or healed. And when our loved ones are down and out in the situation, we need to have the faith that will carry them from one place to another place and say, you know, I know you're down now. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus can heal your spiritual problem, and he can heal your physical problem. He did 2,000 years ago. He's still doing today. He is the carpenter, the prophet from Nazareth, who lays out his hand on folks and touches them, the untouchables, and heals them. He's the one who looks down at somebody and say, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat, rise, and go home. So this morning, let's have that kind of faith of the faith that, Lord, you can heal me. And let's have the love for our neighbor, the love that lifted me, the love that will pick up our neighbor, not put them down, but lift them up, and take them to Jesus. That'd be a very Christian thing for all of us to do this week and the weeks to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.